again. Sing that again.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Just before we turn to His Word this morning. Father God, we just bow this morning in Thy presence. We're glad, Lord, for the songs we've been singing, Lord. We know it was the blood. We know, Lord, that one day when we're lost, You did die upon the cross. And Lord, we're glad this morning for the precious shed blood, for the victory that overcometh the enemy. Lord, we thank You for mercy. We pray, God, this morning that You'll just already, Lord, come in our midst this morning and meet every need in this house this morning. Oh, God, we're a needy people this morning. We pray that the power that raised You from the dead, that Holy Spirit, Lord, will move in our hearts this morning. Meet needs in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, we ask now that You will every work of the enemy be bound. And every vain imagination cast down this morning. Everything that would exalt itself. Every, Lord, wrong thought. Every thing that says no to the truth. Everything, Lord, that would rise up to discourage Thy people. We cast it down this morning, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that the Holy Ghost will move in our hearts this morning. And move upon us, for we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Now maybe you just could turn to 1 John. 1 John on... Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5. And I want to read 50 verses here. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll start maybe at verse 11 and read down a couple of three verses here. Praise the Lord. Praise God for mercy and for grace this morning. I thank God this morning that God can control this morning.
Amen.
That God's in charge of everything. Now, you know, you're not... Maybe you don't realize it, but some people don't realize it, but you're actually in a battle. You're actually in a struggle against powers and against principalities. Now, God didn't say that you wouldn't have that struggle, but God gave you His Word so that you can rest on that Word, that you can have that assurance. That you can be an overcomer. Now that doesn't say that you won't have trials and that you won't have hard days. You certainly will. But there's one thing this morning that's for sure. God knows the end from the beginning. And you know, Satan might come along and he might say to you, God didn't hear you. Or God didn't answer your prayer. Well, that's a lie. Because God did hear you. And God did answer you. Now, maybe not the answer you're looking for. You know, the Bible says our ways are not His ways. And it says that the natural man cannot understand the spiritual things are spiritual. Because they're spiritual. And they're spiritually discerned. And I just want to read this morning here. John, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 11. And he says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us, therefore we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. You may be seated. I was sitting in the house and I was just thinking on this, like an inner voice said to me that ye might know. That ye might know. And I knew it was from the scripture, and I started to look over and I looked two or three different places and thought of maybe being in the places where I looked and then I sat down and I thought for a second or two and I'd come plain again and I turned the Bible over to 1 John and I turned it over and this is the verse. It says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know. That ye might know. God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants you to know that he knows about your situation. God wants you to know that he is your sustainer. God wants you to know that he is the one that provided for you. God wants you to know that. Now, there's plenty of examples in the Bible. And you know, people often talk about things in the Bible. And people often, you hear people talk and they talk about Job. But you know, I'm going to say something here this morning. A lot of things that they read in the Bible. Now I know this, now don't misunderstand me. A lot of things that they read in the Bible is just like a storybook to them. And a lot of things that they read in the Bible, when we were going to school, we had wee storybooks. And some of the stories began like this. Once upon a time. Once upon a time. But this is not a storybook. This is the written word of God. And God wants you to know. God wants you to know, even in this day, on this age. Now, I don't want to get away from the thought this morning, but some time ago I happened to turn on the TV and I turned it over to the religious places on for the just here. And this man came on and he made a bit of reference to the common market. I'm not going to go that. I would love this morning for to just go down and show you some of the things and to show you in the church. If you've got the book, The Seven Church Ages, I'd advise you to read it. And take your time this time reading it and reread it. And you'll see the things that's taking place in this country today exactly is in there. But this man was saying that about the ten kingdoms. And he said that Ireland wasn't in the ten kingdoms. And he said that through there. And then he said, some people think they know who the Antichrist is. Now listen to what he said. He said, some people think they know who the Antichrist is. But he says now, they do. They think they know, but he says they don't really know. Well, now that's not the scripture. That's not the Bible. Because you remember in the Bible that God said the man, the Antichrist number was 666. And the Bible plainly states that 'tis the number of a man. So now you see, not that I don't want to go that route this morning, but I want to show you that some people will say to you, God didn't answer you. But really and truthfully, God did answer you. Now I hear the story told one time of this wee woman. She attended these meetings. And the meetings, she attended the meetings faithfully, and they were running for a certain length of time, and they come on real bad weather. And they come such bad weather that she, when she looked out, she thought that maybe the weather was so bad she wouldn't be able, she walked to them, she wouldn't be able to make it. And she prayed. And she prayed that God would put the wind on her back, so it would be easy to go to the meeting. But the thing about it was, the man said about it, she prayed that prayer, but he said the wind was in her face when she was coming home. And you know, sometimes, you know, people would say to you, oh, well, there you are now. God didn't answer you. But you know, we have read here, it says that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is all positive. And he says, if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, some people say that Job was the oldest book in the Bible. Now, Job was a man of God. We know he was a man of God. And we know that Job lived a very righteous life. And we know that there, and I once heard a man saying about Job, he said that how Job backslid. But Job never backslid. Not one dot. He never backslid. But if you go in the Bible and you look at the things that befell Job, and the trials that Job had, and you take the men that come along and they sit down with Job and they said to Job, well now Job, there must be something wrong. Or there must be that there. And then they said to Job, well, you know, God does this, God does something else. And all, and they say all these things, tell him. But yet with all, even Job's wife turned around and she said to Job, when she saw the state that Job was now, he was in pain. He was smote with wiles and different maladies that were around with him, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Why, he even took some of the bits of the broken pots and stuff to use them as a lance to lance the ailments and the sores that he had on him. He took them for to let them so that he could find relief. And you know, Job's wife even said to Job, curse God and die. And you know what he said? He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. And you know, no matter what the trial was, Job kept his integrity. Now, no one of us has ever had a trial like Job. But God, you know, Satan accused Job. And you know, once Satan accused Job, God said, all right. But you know, God wanted to prove, tell Satan that Job was a loyal servant of his, that Job was his child, and no matter what, God knew Job. And it didn't matter what happened to Job, God still knew Job. And you know, that today you could maybe be in a position and you might say to yourself, well, I can't understand this and I can't understand something else. But nevertheless, you can't understand it. But there's a reason and a purpose for everything that takes place. And you know, maybe could you take like an illustration, you know, some of the fellas in here have done a bit of weight training and a bit of physical exercise and starting things. Well, you know now, if you sat down and thought about those things, you could think about them. But you never would do nothing. If you thought about it, you wouldn't do anything. But if you partake in it, if you exercise regularly, then you're going to have the benefits from the exercise. Now, if you talk about faith and never exercise faith, you'll never have no benefit from it. But you know, God sometimes allows things to happen so that by that there you can gain strength. He allows these things sometimes to take place so that you can gain strength. And you know, sometimes the enemy would like to overwhelm you. But you know, God has made a way. He makes a way where there is no way. And God gives strength. And you might have a trial, and it might seem like it hasn't gone very well for you, but I want you to remember this morning, that God will strengthen you and give you strength so that you'll be able to overcome, so that you'll be able to come through it, and you'll come out on the other side, and someday later on in your life you'll look back and you'll realize that that was for a purpose, and you'll say, I'm the stronger today because that happened to me. And that's why some of these things take place that take place. But you remember now, one of a good example in the Bible is the Hebrew children. And then the Hebrew children, you see, they prayed to God and they sought God. And their enemies wanted an occasion against them. Actually, it's just Satan that wanted the occasion against them. And then they made the decree that any man would ask any petition of God or anything of that there, that they had to be put into the lion's den or threw into the fiery furnace. Daniel put into the lion's den and the three Hebrew children put into the fiery furnace. But you know, they had their minds set on God. And look at the statement they made. Somebody said, well, your God, if you serve, is your God able to deliver you? Will your God answer your prayer now that you're in the need? Will your God not let you be thrown into the fiery furnace? But they didn't. Look what they said. They said, our God, he is able. And he said, where we will or where we want, we are not going to buy. It doesn't matter what happens, we're going to stay with it. But you know, sometimes there maybe comes a time in your life or a trial in your life, and you maybe just don't do what the Hebrew children done. We're all guilty of it. We've had these times. We've had them, I've had them, and I'm sure you'll have them. And everybody that'll live godly in the Lord, you'll have trials at one time or another. But you know, sometimes what really takes place, we look at the circumstances and we dwell on the circumstances. And when we dwell on the circumstances, then what's determined is going to be determined. When we dwell on the circumstances, you lose that confidence and you lose that strength. And you might say, oh brother, I'll not be like that. You know, I said it myself, oh, I'll never do that. And then I turned around and I done it. But you see, I walked out of a meeting one Sunday morning. And I said, I'll never set foot in a meeting house in my life again. Never. I never go back to a meeting in my life again. That's it. I'm finished with it. No more. And you know why I've done it? I've done it because of circumstances. I looked at circumstances. And if Satan can get you to look at circumstances, then he'll have a victory over you. But God wants you to rise above the circumstances this morning, and he will give you the victory.
Amen.
Because I say this morning to you, that I might encourage you in the Lord to trust the Lord and to believe his word. The Bible says that the angels of God encampeth round about those that are heirs of salvation for to deliver them. Now look what Satan said to the Lord. Satan said to the Lord, if you're God, turn you these stones into bread. You're hungry now. Now you might say, I have a problem. I have a need. And God hasn't met my need. I have a prayer request. But God hasn't answered my prayer request. And Satan might come along and Satan might say to you, well, there you are now. Where's your God now? But let me tell you, God has not changed his mind about his word. And God hasn't changed. And God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same this morning. And he's still able for to meet that need. And he's still able for to give that deliverance. And he's still able to bless you and to lift you up above the trial and to lift you up above the circumstances. And don't you let the devil put you down. Resist the devil and he flee from you. But you know, circumstances can waylay you. Circumstances can turn you aside if you dwell on them. But you know, God has promised in his word. He didn't say that you would have trials. Now listen, I'll tell you something this morning. There's not one of us in here this morning that hasn't had some sort of a trial or something. Maybe not in like Job, but in some way or some time you've had a trial, and some way you maybe think that God didn't hear you or God didn't answer you. But I want to say to you this morning, God knows all about your trial. And I want to say to you that God knows all about your circumstances. But I want to take you to God's word this morning. And I want to show you that God really cares about you. You know, he does care about you. And I want to say to you this morning that God knew you before you ever come here. And I want to say to you this morning that God ordained you to be here, that you would hear what's been said. Not be, I'm only, not myself, I guess I'm just your brother. I'm no great preacher, I'm no great this, that, or they are. But I want to say this to you this morning. If I can encourage you in the Lord, that you believe his word, then we'll have the victory, and the victory every time.
Amen.
Oh, boy, I know what... I know what it's like to get dark. I know what it's like to be backslid. I know all these things. I know about them because I've had the experience of it. And I know about running before the Lord. I've had the experience of that too. I know about these different things because of experience. But I tell you something, in some of these things I was very foolish. And I give grace to the enemy. But by God's grace this morning, I want to tell you, don't for one minute give grace to him. And don't be discouraged this morning, but be encouraged in the Lord. For God is going to bring you out. Hallelujah. And God is giving you the victory. And God already has given you the victory. And God already knows the outcome, and you can know the outcome. And the outcome to the Hebrew children, they said, we won't fire, we will require, we want, But God delivered them from the fiery furnace, and God delivered his servant from the knife of the lamb. Amen. God is a deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, people come along, they'll, I'll tell you, they'll do anything but encourage you.
Amen.
Why you should do this? If I was you, how often have you heard that? If I was you. But you're not me, and I'm not you.
Amen.
If I was you, oh, look at he done, look at she done. Well, I'm not going to look at what you done this morning, for there's one looking at what you done, and I tell you, he's looking at what you done, for he wants to accuse you. But I tell you, God sent a remedy. And you know what it says to me? It says that we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Now, you don't have to come and tell your sins to me. You don't, no way. You don't have to do it. There's only one place you have to go to tell your sins, and that's before in your own private time before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you confess your sins to him, because there's no man has power to forgive sin. There's only one that can forgive sin, and that's the Lord. And as far as the Lord is concerned this morning, you're sinless, spotless.
Amen.
Why? That's tremendous. It's purple. It's more than purple. It's only God to do this. And look how Satan had the knack on him till he even come up to the Lord and say, now, he said, now, let me tell you, he didn't go outside of the Word to accuse him. He accused him in the Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said to Jesus, it is written that the Lord will let his angels watch over you, at least at any time you dice your feet against a stone. And he says that he took him up onto the high pinnacle of the temple, and he said, cast yourself down, because God has said in his word. You see, you know, it took me years to catch on. It took me a long time, excuse me. It took me a long time for to realize something, that Satan's religious. Now, I might say something up here this morning that might shock you, but don't you be shocked. And I want to tell you this today, that half the ministers, I don't know, maybe more than half of them, are professing religion and are professing salvation. They're actually the ministers of Satan, not of God. They're transformed as angels of light, purporting to give you the Word of God, but not really the Word of God, but a certain amount of the Word of God, which has already been perverted. Oh, but you say, bro, that's right, that's where they are, right then. Now, you notice, let me say something here to show you something. I don't want to get away from what I'm saying, but just a wee shoot back to show you something. Daniel's vision, when he sees the image, and he comes right down to the thighs of iron, and the feet's iron, and clay mingled. Now iron, we know, is the Roman Empire. And that Roman Empire is right into the very end. And the clay is mingled with that Roman Empire right to the very end. Now, let me say, where is it? It's mingled together. It's mingled, it's mixed. So that empire continues right to the end, because at the end of that empire, where does the stone that's hewn out without hands, where does it smite the image? On the head, the breast, the chest, the legs? No. It smites it on the feet. The world system that we have today and the world council of churches are the image unto the beast. Now they say, oh no, no, some of these guys think they're going to build a big computer and it's going to be able to tell everybody in the world. They've already computers can tell everybody in the world. That's not it. It's a living, moving organism. Because it was put to death with a sword, but it revived again and lived again. Now, I'm not going to go and start to go into all that there, but I want to show you something. That's right down to the end time. Now, the stone that was hewn out wasn't hewn out. Nobody hewed it out. It was hewn out without hands. And it smote the image on the feet, and they became as the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Now, what did the early church system say? What did they say? They said they went out from us, for they were not of us. And where's the false vine today? Right growing amongst the true seed. That's exactly where it is. Now you see, I don't want to get into that there, but I want to just show you something. That Satan wants to accuse you. And he wants to defeat you if he can. But I want you to remember one thing this morning. God has said here, he says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Now I know you believe on the name. We believe on the name this morning, don't we? We do. Because the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved, rather than the name of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved any other way. You can't be saved by good works. You can't be saved by having a certain style of lifestyle. You can't be saved by church going. You can't be saved by water baptism. You can't be saved by learning the creed. You can't be saved by saying your questions. You can't be saved by reading your Bible every day. You're saved by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the name that God has set as high above every name.
Amen.
For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby man must be saved, rather than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something this morning. God knows your name. Oh, he knows your name. And he knows all about us. And he proved it too in this last age that he knows your name. And he knows all about you. And you say, well, I can't understand this, why this happened to me. Well, sometimes we can't explain everything, and we don't know everything. But I'll have you this morning. What I want to say to you this morning, commit your life to God. Let us rededicate our lives afresh to God. And let's say this morning, Lord, help us to walk every day as we should walk. And let that blessing that cometh from you be on us, Lord. And oh God, let us answer. He says that it's according to his will. And we have got his will written here. And you know that God has promised to keep us and to lead us. And you know this morning, the great thing about it is this. I watched a wee program, I think it was last night. And not, I don't want to say any names, for sometimes they tape and people here can maybe pick a fancy to say the name or something. So we're not saying any names, but they showed you two ladies on, and I think maybe her husband had died from cancer. And you know, that poor lady said she cried every day for over a year. She cried every day. You know, she asked, well, I don't know, but it sounded to me like she didn't have any hope. Maybe she did, I don't know. But I want to tell you this morning that we are not as those that have no hope. We believe to the saving of the soul. And we believe like St. Paul preached, absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know, when my ma and my father died, certainly it was a sad time. But outside of that, I have the hope that I'll see them again. And that kingdom that he hath prepared. Now this morning, it's a hope. It's beyond hope. It's greater than hope. It's a blessed hope. Hallelujah. Of a resurrection to life eternal. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I have a house already waiting. He says, there's a place prepared for me. Absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord.
Amen.
You see, you don't know. You say, well, maybe this is not happening, but you know, sometimes, you know, Brother Brown one time prayed for some lady, a woman, I think she had. He said that God had given her, he asked her, had she all of her preparations made and was all ready? And she said she had. And he told Billy Paul, he said to Billy Paul, she'll die. But he said, but all these prophecies and all this, said that, I think the angel has told me, he's never been wrong. It's always right. Said she'll die. And you know, then he told her, they are young, he said that God showed him she fell into a river, but she should have died then, he said. But God didn't take her then. She should have died then. But God didn't take her. But you see, we maybe just don't know everything that's to know, but there's one thing that we know this morning. We know that God is merciful. Because it says, new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. On you every morning are the mercies of God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that he's a merciful God. I'm glad he's a God of mercy. I'm glad he's a God of tenderness and love. What did he say? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know. You're not hoping to know. You're not trying to know. He says that ye may know. When do you have this eternal life? When you die? No. Now. Every person that's born again in this house this morning has had eternal life. You have it now. You don't have to strive for it. You didn't have to work for it. It was a free gift. Didn't he say come without money? You don't need money to get it. It's already paid for. It's already provided for. It's there for you. It's God's salvation. It's there for us. And God's comfort is there for you too. And God wants to comfort you. And God wants to strengthen you. I'm going to say something here now in this meeting. I'm going to say it by faith. I believe that some of you will go from this meeting this morning and things is going to begin to change in your life. And they're going to change for the better. And you're going to realize the love of God for you and the mercy of God to us. And you're going to realize them things more than ever you have realized before. I believe that. I believe that God wants us to know that. I believe that God wants us to surrender everything we have to him and lay it before God, and God will undertake for it. You know, you see, sometimes it's easy to look at the circumstances. Sometimes it's easy for to take those circumstances. You know, I remember now I had Brother Branham's books, and I had the messages, and I had read some of the messages, and I had some of the books. I had the Church Ages, I had the Seven Seals, and those books. But you know, when I quit going to church and didn't go back to the meetings and stuff, an odd time I would go to the odd meeting. And an odd time people would maybe invite me to come along and go to an odd service, and I'd go along to an odd service. And I suppose, you know, I'd take turns at reading the Bible. I'd take shots at reading the Bible. And maybe I wouldn't read it for a while, and then I would take a go at it again, and I would start it, and I'd read it, and I'd read a good bit of it, and I'd read. And you know, sometimes the enemy will come along and they'll say to you, "Oh, God didn't speak to you. Where was God when this happened to me?" You know, sometimes you wonder, sometimes you know, you may be looking for somebody to give you a word. Or you maybe come in the service and you say, "Well, I'll come, there'll be a word in the service for me. Somebody will have a word for me in the service." Maybe you might come in and you maybe say, "Well, the Spirit of God will maybe move on brother so and so on, and he'll have a word for me." But you know, that mightn't happen. And you know, maybe I could stand up this morning and I could say, "Oh brother, I have a word for you." But if I come down up here this morning and I say I have a word for you, but say a word of my own imagination or say something like that to you, it's not by any use to you. It's no good. It won't do anything. And you know, sometimes you see, you could, God might give you a word for some people, and you might just, it just may. Now, I worked with a man, and I said to him that I would ask the people in this assembly to pray for him. I said to him like this, I said, I go along to a wee assembly, and I said, "Look, there's good Christian people in it, and I'll tell you what I'll do. The man was a Roman Catholic, and I said, I'll ask them to pray for you." And he said to me, "Would you, boy?" I said, "I will." And he said, "Well, thanks very much." That's what he said, "Thanks very much." I said, "I'll ask them to pray for you." And I said, "You know, it's a good thing to pray, for God answers prayer." And he had hurted himself some time before, and he had been off work for a good number of weeks. He hurted his back and he'd been off work for a good number of weeks. And he just had come back. And I said, "How are you?" He says, I'm in pain every day. I'm not as bad as it was, but he says, I'm in agony every day. He says, "I can't even bend over to lift anything." And you know, I felt this feeling. I don't know how I'd explain it to you. But I just felt there was something going on that wasn't just like what you would say was normal. And you know what he turned around and he says to me? He says, "I feel better already." He says, "Something has happened to me. God touched him." That's what happened to him. God touched him. Just there and then like that. So you see, you can't say, "Well, I'll give him a word or I'll not give him a word." You can't say that. But God touched him. And then you see how it would be that God would touch him. But you know, that doesn't say that God won't give you a word. But you know, if God gives you that word, then you'll have that witness in yourself. You'll have a witness that is right. You'll have a witness. But outside of somebody giving you a word this morning, or anything like that there, God wants us to believe his written word. And when we rest on this written word, then God will do what it says in this word. For God is obligated to... Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he watches over his word. Hebrews. He watches over his word. He keeps an eye on his word to perform his word. And his word can't fall to the ground. But the Bible says it will accomplish the thing. It will prosper in the thing that he sent it to do. It will do what he sends it to do. So then this morning, he might know these things. God wants you to know that he's in control. God wants you to know that he knows all about your circumstances. Now if you dwell on that, and not dwell on what might be or what mightn't be, but if you dwell on that, there'll be a peace coming to you. I think some of you left this meeting this morning and you'll have a peace. I believe we'll all have a peace. But I think some of you have a peace of something that has been troubling you. And from this day it will change. And you'll have peace. And that you're not going to be beat about by this thought or that thought. But if you're going to set your thought on Him who's able, who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think. And we know that God is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And you know what Paul says? Paul says we're to cast down all vain imagination. Now you look at Paul. Well, if there's anybody that sort of shut down and went back and another went on with the Lord, if you look at the Bible, it should have been Paul. Shipwrecked. Fall among thieves and robbers. In perils in the sea. In perils and hunger. Knowing how to abound, knowing how to abase. Look at all these things. And yet withal, Paul, God gave Paul the revelation for the Gentiles. He committed unto him the gospel to the Gentiles. And showed him the mysteries of God. And didn't Paul said he knew a man, where in the body or where out of the body. He saw things that weren't even, not even wrote down. They weren't even lawful to speak of them. Look at that there. And you know, God allowed a messenger from Satan to buffet Paul. Why? At least he'd get exalted. What did he say? I have run the race. I've kept the course. Said I know there's a crown laid up for me. Now he wasn't saying that I might attain to life, but he wasn't talking about his salvation. His salvation was sure. He was talking about his reward for what he'd done for God. And there was a crown laid up for him because he'd run the race that God had laid before him. He was an overcomer. He was a conqueror. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you. And five. And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Oh, you say, brother, I haven't great faith. You have. Every person that's meeting this morning. Well, you say, oh, brother, you've all great faith. I know you have great faith. Amen. Why? The Bible says you have. The Bible says till every man is given a measure of faith. So there's not one person in here this morning that hasn't got a measure of faith. And let me say this to you this morning. If that sphere of faith is only as a grain of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain.
Amen.
So you've got faith. And I want you to be in Christ this morning. And I want you to stand up to Satan and tell Satan. Now, it's not that you couldn't stand up to him of your own power, no way. But you stand up to him, you use this word to him, and you quote this word to him, and I'll tell you, you quote this word to him, he'll flee from you. Oh, you don't feel too good this morning, you're not stumbling at all. Oh, your legs are stiff, your hips are stiff, oh, you're sore. Oh, boy, the tears. You don't feel it, you're stiff of yourself. I never listened to that sort of stuff. Oh, you say, no, I don't care, I don't listen to it. I never confess to it. I'm looking at the bigger picture.
Amen.
I'm looking unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Amen.
I'm looking to him, and you know what I say when I'm walking about? I say, thank the Lord for your stripes. And I say, thank the Lord for healing me. I said, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to me. Thank you, Lord, for your provision every day. Ah, oh, but boy, look at the bill, you. You old big bill. What of it? Oh, brother. Oh, look the way you were last week. Oh, you were right then. Oh, where was your God then? That doesn't matter where I was, but I know where he is. And I know that he is in charge of everything. And I know that he conquered death and hell. Of that place called Calvary. Hallelujah. And I know that the Bible said it. confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart what I shall be saved. A man said to me one day, how do you know you're saved? I said, I know the Bible says I'm saved because I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that he died for me and that he rose again. Hallelujah! And I know I've got salvation, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days that whosoever will call on him shall be saved. Hallelujah. Salvation is not a man, it's of God. You know, I was looking at the paper. You know, they're debating now whether God was a man or a woman. You know why they're doing that? Antichrist. That's why they're doing it. Antichrist. Antichrist system. Whole system. Oh, but you say, bro, how could a man get up and talk about the saved and then the Antichrist? How could he not? Oh, but you say, bro, it's not going to be. Oh, it is. Can be. And it is. Now, I turned on the Welsh one morning. And this priest went to hear Paisley. And these guys interviewed him and said to him, it's on the Welsh. What did you think of Paisley? I think the Bible's surprised. He said he was very good. I enjoyed what he said. He said, what did he say? He said he talked about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. He said it was very good. Now, if I give you a glass of water today and a glass of oil that you put an engine in your car, can you mix the oil and the water? Doesn't mix. And you can't drink it. It would do you harm. But you could drink the water. And it would do you good if there was no oil in it. You could use the oil in your motor. It would do all right. But you can't mix them. Somebody might say you can. But you know what the Lord said. Now listen carefully. He said that some will come to him in that day and they'll say, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons and have we not healed the sick and have we not done all these things? Well, what did Jesus say to them? He said, I never knew you. I didn't know you. Now yes, the healing is good. The miracles are good. I believe in them. And I believe we'll have more of them. And I believe as it goes to the end time, we'll see more manifestations of the Holy Ghost in our midst and in our meetings. But that's not it. Do you know what it is? It's being obedient to God's word. It's believing his word. Being obedient to his word. Keep his word, be obedient to his word no matter what. And you'll have a victory. It's being obedient to the word, to believe in the word. Well, I see nothing the time's going. Now, the last day, I think it's gone past 12:15, and I hope she's going. Just wait till I get her moved to the light here. Okay, see, if the wee horn's moving, she's going. Yes, it's going. So I'm not going to look. I'm not going to keep you. It's going to be like the last day. Holy, for such a time, for the way on past it. But let me read you something here this morning. I want to turn over, and I want to read you from Psalm 78. I think it's a great psalm. I just want to read this. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to try to take you a step higher in your faith. A step higher up. That you'll rest on the word. You know, you can lie down, you can relax. You can rest on this word. You can rest on it because it's a sure word. And Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy. These things that ye might know. I want to read Psalm 78 to you. I just want to read a few verses down here. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my love. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and know, and their fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his son and his wonderful works that he hath done." That is his testimony. "For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, and he commanded their fathers that they should make known to their children and to the generation to come, and to know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to thy children." God wants us to know these things. "These things I have written unto you, that ye might know." I want to switch back, go back a wee bit again, not maybe just keeping what I'm trying to say, but just say a wee thing, or I'd love to preach on this thing about the church ages, and maybe the Lord willing will do it yet. But I want to say something. Now, 1859 in this country was a tremendous revival. And you know, the things that took place, the people that got saved, and the mighty movements of the Holy Ghost through this land, and how that God moved right across the world, and right down even to the Azusa Street revival, and how all these things that there was, and the great revival, and this country, every wee hole in the heads there was a mission hall. And there was gospel meetings in it. And you know, if they were having their meeting at a certain time in the evening, and if you weren't there and there before it, you never get a seat. And I remember in the 60s, how that some of the meetings were much the same. And how that if you weren't in the meeting at a certain time in the evening, you weren't going to get a seat in it, you'd be outside. And how that God blessed the six counties here in the north of Ireland. And how that God moved by his Holy Ghost. And today in 2018, how is it that such a country with such gospel and such mighty preachers raised up in it, and men of God that were raised up in this country that proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me say this morning, don't want to sound discouraging to you, but let me say this morning, how could they ever go to where they have got today? How could they ever get in such a state as they are in at this present moment? And how could they ever want to join in with the Antichrist system? And how could they take the mark of the beast? They're already taking it. That might sound strange, but it's happening. And how could they ever go back down into what they come out of? And the Bible was full of parallels and full of pictures. And here the psalmist is relating to Israel to tell their children. And they're saying all the things that they do. And you know, I don't know now where you could get a book written today. You can certainly get books on the 1859 revival. But I wonder today, if you got a modern written one at this present time, I wonder what could be said about the 1859 revival. And you know, men have wrote about the... Now, I'm not saying it was bad, but they wrote... But they have wrote about the 1859 revival, and they left out the miraculous things that God done in the 1859 revival. And they left out to tell that God is a miraculous God. They left that out. They didn't tell that God's a miracle-working God. They forgot these things. Where the psalmist said here, we want to forget them. But the psalmist said we were to make known to our children the things that God had done. And there's one thing for sure that you can tell your daughter today or tell your son today, God is a God of love. For the Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why it is. That's why he loved the world. He gave a son. What for? Now, they're wondering if God is a man or if he's a woman. But God became a man that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he overcame the devil. Not by anything, but by the word of God, by the pure word of God, he conquered him at the place called Calvary. You see today, you know why they're this? That's Roman teaching. Romanism. Right down through, come in every church age, right down, runs right down to the last. Right down through to the very end. But God wants us to know this morning. Says he established, he says that the generation to come might know them, that the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You went into some of these big places today, or into some of these places today, and said you believed that God had sent you a prophet to show you the door. If you went in and you preached the sermon to Malachi about the Malachi messenger, they'd tell you they don't want you to come back. Oh, they would. They say, oh, can't believe that. Can't believe it. Won't believe it. Don't want to believe it. They can't believe it because they're not of the true seed. They're not of the true seed. That's why they don't believe it. But this morning God wants you to know that he's concerned about you. He wants you to know that he loves you. And he has wrote these things, it's like you might know, you know the great thing about it. While you live or die, you're the Lord's. While you live or die, you're God's this morning. And we know that if we die in Christ, we will come up in the first resurrection. We know that this morning. And you know, Paul says, don't you be sorrowful as ours that have no hope. They don't have any hope this morning. That poor lady said she cried every day for I think over a year. Well, you know, crying might continue for the night, but in the morning joy may come. They might have been sorrowful, but there's joy coming. You claim that joy this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to this one. It's 25 past 12. And I'm going to ask Mark for to come. But just this morning, believe the Lord. Say, oh God, help me, Lord, to accept thy word and to rest upon thy word. You know, be of good courage, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all you can ask or think. He's able to do it. Don't you confess to the enemy, oh, you're right. No, don't do that. You know, whenever Job was pressed and pressed and pressed, you know what he said? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he also said, you're not to sorrow as them that have no hope. For he says, whenever he comes, your loved ones will come with him. That's something, isn't it? It's something this morning to know that God loves you. It's something to know that God sent a son If you'd been the only person in the world, God has sent a son for you. If you'd been the only person in the world, God has sent a son for you. And that's something. That God will send a son for to redeem man. When man fell in the garden, God provided for him. There had to be shed blood, but God provided for him. And God said that that seed that that woman would receive would bruise the head of the serpent. And he would bruise his heel. He was talking of a coming day of Christ. You know, God foreknows everything. You know, was it over 700 years or so, was it? It was a long time that Isaiah prophesied, and he prophesied of John the Baptist. He said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." So God knows the end from the beginning. And God knows all this morning. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged this morning. You say, "Lord, I'm going to accept what you said in your word, that you might know that God wants you to know. He wants you to know that he cares about you. He wants to know that he's your provider. He wants you to know that he's your sustainer." You know, you might think you're working and that you're sustaining. That's all right. That's good. The Lord bless you. But it's actually God that's providing for you. It's actually God that's sustaining you. It's God this morning. Just let's bow our heads before Bro Mark comes. Father God, we just bow in thy presence this morning. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've showed to every one of us. And Lord, we're sorry for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. We're sorry, Lord, for the sins we've done that we shouldn't have done. But Lord, we didn't know any better. But God, now that the true light has come and has shined in our hearts, to give us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, Father, we lift up our eyes to thee this morning. We lift up our hands to thee. Oh God, we pray, come and restore the joy in hearts this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, put joy into that young woman's heart. Put joy into that young man's heart. Put joy into that dear sister this morning into her heart. Put joy into that dear brother this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh God, put confidence into thy servants this morning, into thy people that are down in this house this morning, that they'll go from this meeting and expect, Lord, you to work on their behalf. Lord, that they'll expect a miracle, Lord, in the name of Jesus we offer this morning. Lord, we know we can't do anything of ourselves, but we commit it to thee. We know you're able. And oh God, we know by the accounts from the Bible and the testimonies of those we've even heard of what you've done even in our day, Lord. And our dear Father, we just commit ourselves to thee, and we pray thy blessing on every dear soul bowed in this house this morning. Bless our brother as he comes, Lord, even at the close of this service. For thy glory, Lord, we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Right now.